I want to speak to us this morning. What can I give or do for God? What can I give or do for God? You see, folks, God's plan needs, hear me today. Can we work with these monitors? Give me a little more monitor, please. All right, turn them my way. When God has something needs to be done on this earth, he expects it to be done through us. Come on. God spent his time on this earth. We are his body. So he needs our involvement. If this world is going to be saved, it's going to be saved because of us. Right? I mean, you can pray these prayers. Oh, God, save the whole world. God's going to say, well, what are you going to do about it? Right? What about your world? God, he wants us to offer what we have. I'll say it again. God wants us to offer what we have, not what we don't have. We are to offer them willingly, and God will accomplish his plan through the Holy Ghost. Exodus 35. Exodus 35, we're going to read verse 1 through 10. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel, and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of the rest of the Lord. Whatsoever doth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitation upon that Sabbath day. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering. Hear what he said there. Take ye from among them. Is that what it says? Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, we have to be willing. We have to do things for the Lord. We have to give things to the Lord, but we got to be willing to do it. All right? Let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen of goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. The people are now in the wilderness. The Lord wants the people to worship him. The Lord wants them to set aside a day and a place. The people, I'm sorry, folks, who's got this monitor? Please help me out here. The Lord wants to, I got this echo and it's my ears are ringing, so I'm sorry. The Lord wants the people to worship him, to set aside a day and a place. The people are to seek God through the tabernacle, and God has given Moses the instructions how to build it. And when you read in Exodus 35, Moses gathers the people, that's better, the people, and tells them that the Lord has commanded. Moses is saying, this is what God wants, folks. In Exodus 35, 5, from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone is given the chance to participate in this situation. Whatever you have, you can offer it to God. You can offer gold, you can offer silver and bronze and linen, animal skins, spices and oil. You can offer your time, you can offer your skills. And then in Exodus 35, 10, all who have skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. Those with things can offer things, and those with strength can offer that, and those with skills can offer that. You see what I'm trying to say here this morning? God's saying, I want things you have. Because I have a goal, and I want something to be done with my people, and it has to be done through you. God wants participation. Those with things can offer those things, and those with strength. So in Exodus 35, 11 through 19, it says skills were needed to make poles and tables and lampstands and curtains and garments for the priest. Some work for the, there's work for the males, there's work for females. God has a plan. He has given Moses the plan in his mind, but to build the tabernacle, everyone must get involved. The people offered things. The people offered the skills. And although this is what needs to be done, Moses did not force the people to give. He didn't force anybody. In Exodus 35, 5, from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering. In Exodus 35, 20 through 21, then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence. He told them what they wanted to do. They all left. And everyone who was willing and whose heart was moved to him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. They left. They went home, maybe discussed it, and looked around to see what they have, and they brought it back. In Exodus 35, 22, all who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold, jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. You see, if you remember, if you read back further, and when they were still in Egypt, God told them, go borrow everything you can from the Egyptians. Go borrow their jewelry. Go borrow all this kind of stuff. So they plundered Egypt. God knew what he needed ahead of time. Exodus 35, 29, all the Israelite men and women who were willing. You understand this here, folks. When you hear me reading, those who were willing. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord through Moses and commanded them to do. You see, it seemed like Moses wanted to emphasize this point, to let us know that God did not force these people to do this. Because Moses, all throughout here, he's saying those that were willing. It was an offering. It was an offering to the Lord by his people. When the people respond to God's call, you see, God blesses them. In Exodus 35, 30 through 5, says, and Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, or the son of Ur, the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in a carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that which may teach both he and Alibob, the son of Eshemath, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer and in the blue and in the purple and the scarlet and the fine linen and in the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. These people started bringing these offerings, and God says, God blesses them. He filled them with the Spirit and gave them wisdom to do all these kind of things. And, you know, sometimes we just want to sit back and say, well, I don't know how to do this, or I don't know how to do that. I'm telling you, if you call God and say, God, I want to do whatever it takes, God will give you the wisdom. God will bless your life. He'll use you. He'll help you to get to that place. In my life living for the Lord, I've heard of things where people say, God, you know, they need a piano player. God, if you'll help me, I'll play it. And God has given them the wisdom. God will do these kind of things, folks. But, amen, we live in this day and age where average is okay, and people are just fine with sitting back and saying, well, I don't know how to do that, so I'm off the hook. God is looking for willing hearts. Amen. God is looking for people that want to see his work go forth. God is looking for people that want to see God use people and bless people's lives. Let me tell you, one of the reasons that I love doing the work of the Lord is because I feel that I'm a very blessed man. I have a wonderful wife. I have wonderful children. Amen. I live a good life, and I want other people to experience that also. So therefore, I am here trying to help people to understand if you live for God, if you do for God, He'll bless you. You see, here they needed some skills, they needed some supervisors, and we see God fills them with His Holy Spirit, and He enables them. You see, it reached a point, folks, Moses had to stop. In Exodus 36, 4 through 7, and all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work, which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it. And too much. What a problem to have. I would love to say that one time. Let me give you a spiritual lesson for today, folks. God's plan needs the involvement of His people. Amen? God wants us to offer what we have, not what we don't have. And for some, it's things. For others, it's skills, whatever it may be. We are to offer that skill to God willingly. But the problem I see is people want to give God, they want to let God know, you need me. So if you need me, it's going to be my way or else. Come on. If God wants me to do that, it's got to be my way. Oh, no. Offer to God willingly whatever God wants. And even though God has a task, folks, He will not force you into it. Amen? And I've always said that as pastor. Look, I'm not going to have something just for the sake of having something. If I need to shut it down, I'm not afraid to shut it down. One, I remember standing in, when God called me up here, I had a handful of people, and it was just, all it was what pastor did. Amen? So we got to do it God's way. And we have to do it with a willing heart. God has things that need to be done, but He's looking for people that are willing to do it. He's not going to force you to do it, but He'll bring somebody in that will do it. Not once in the Bible, folks, did God force anybody to do anything. God fills us with the Holy Spirit. He enables us to do more than we thought we could even ever do. He adds on to what we have. God's plan will be accomplished. With or without you. We want to experience this joy and this blessing. I don't know about you folks, but I'm telling you what. Yeah, it's hard work sometimes doing things for God, but there's great blessings in it. And if I'm ever going to work hard for anything, I'd rather work hard for God. If we fail to respond, others do the job, and they will be blessed. Folks, we need to offer what we have. And work together to see God's will be done in the church and in your lives. I think sometimes some of us deal with more problems than we care to have. But I think a lot of times it's brought on by our unwilling heart to do things for God. Oh, it's getting quiet. Maybe this is where I need to park for a minute. Come on. Am I telling you the truth? We're not willing to do things God's way. So therefore, folks, we don't have the blessings that God wants to give us. Let me tell you something. You're always going to have things come against you in this world. We heard it this weekend at the men's retreat, folks. Amen. There's always things that are after you. We're working behind enemy lines. Amen, brother? But folks, it's not too bad, though, when you got God back there with you on your side, and he's blessing you, and he's giving you the strength, he's giving you the wisdom and able to be cunning and go through these situations and make it. We need to offer what we have. But don't do it begrudgingly. Do it willingly. Give it to God. Here, God, I'll give you everything I got. Let me tell you something. You know, you may be able to do certain things in your life. But there may be people around you. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's the person you're sitting next to. Maybe they don't have that ability that you have. And we need to give what we have to be that example and encourage them to move along. And encourage them and bless them. And sometimes you may need to do things just not only for yourself, but just so that somebody else is encouraged. So we have to build, folks, let's build a church. Amen? We're building a church here in Cleveland. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. What are you leaving? What are you leaving? A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. I ask you today, what are you leaving to your children's children or your children? Of all the things that a man or a woman could build in their lifetime, I can think of no greater thing to give them than a church. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Of all the causes in the world, whether it is to cure cancer, to feed the homeless, I can't think of no greater cause than a church. When I drive through a city, and I don't know if you're like me, but I love to look at the buildings. And you see those beautiful buildings that have been built throughout the years. That just fascinates me. Because you know where my mind goes? Man, the stories. If this building could talk, the stories I could hear. I love history. You know, do you ever hear a thing that history repeats itself? Well, I think if history is taught right, history don't always repeat itself. Come on. Because if history is taught right, people can learn from people's mistakes. But when I see these buildings, I think of these things. I think of, wow. You know, and I've worked in old buildings and remodeling different things. And as I'm pulling things apart to fix them, I'm thinking, man, what they could tell me. I've walked around in this building and just thought of all the history that's been here. This thing was built, I believe, in the early 1900s. So there's a lot of things you could hear. So when I drive through these cities, I love to look at that and look what man has accomplished throughout the years. And I can't help but notice often is those beautiful churches. Anybody ever go downtown and see the old stone building, church building down there? The old doors on there and the big hinges and stuff, just the massiveness. And think of the work that they did and how they put these things together. It just blows my mind. Some of those churches are huge. Some of them are small. Some are very elaborate. Others are just plain. And these churches represent to me the faith of not only the people who currently attend the churches, but more importantly, the faith of those who probably are no longer living. Folks, that big, beautiful church was not built yesterday. Those high steeples were not raised last week. The funds to create what you are looking at were not raised by people from the previous generation. They're probably several generations ago. Somebody's father, somebody's mother worked to build that church. Somebody's grandparents sacrificed and labored to build the foundation of a church that would later be built upon by the next generation. Folks, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. I can't think of a greater inheritance to leave my children's children than the church. An inheritance is more than money or a house. An inheritance, folks, is a way of life. An inheritance is a faith in God. An inheritance is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your money is going to fail you. Your house is going to fall down. But faith is that in Jesus Christ will stand the test of time. Hallelujah. Worship Him. Worship the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, folks, a church is not only the building. It's not only a steeple or a church on a hill. God's church is made up of people. Each member is particular. Each member is unique. Each member is necessary for the church's continuance and growth. And when I look around this building here today, I see people who may have been in church for many years. But guess what, folks? They are only here because of the sacrifices and the prayers of people who may not even be alive anymore. I think of Brother Harold Ray, who invited my dad to church. My dad's father was a pastor. My grandfather was a preacher. And my dad was young, and he was ornery, and he was running around, and he had backslidden. Married my mother after 2 weeks of dating her. And I came along, and they weren't going to church. And when I was 4 years old, Brother Harold Ray came out in the rain, knocked on my dad's door outside of town, and invited him to church. And my dad went to church, and he made his mind up to live for God, and he never looked back. But Brother Harold Ray is gone today. My mom and my dad are gone today, folks. But I'm standing here today, folks, because of what they did of my inheritance. My grandfather's gone today, but I'm here today because of my grandfather. I'm telling you, there's no greater inheritance. And I can pass that inheritance on to my boys. I can pass it on to these people in this church, folks. I want you to understand you can have an inheritance even if you're starting it yourself. Come on, worship Him. But it was the Brother Harold Ray's one invite. See, and who was the one who encouraged Brother Harold Ray? Who was the one who encouraged the man that encouraged Brother Harold Ray? You see, folks, you may not have somebody before you who was in church in your family. But all it takes, you can start an inheritance yourself. And you can tell somebody at work, hey, man, invite them to church, and you will be that inheritance to them. Amen? Folks, we need to build an inheritance and give it to our children and give it to our neighbors and give it to our coworkers. Hallelujah. It's important. There's no greater thing. But we have to be involved. We have to build it here. We can't just sit back and say, let this one do it and let that one do it. Anybody ever heard of Jeff Arnold? Jeff Arnold made a statement. He said, if your only aim is to just make it to heaven, you are a cheap Christian. You must do something for the kingdom of God. I don't want to be a cheap Christian. Amen. I don't want to just be someone that lags along. Come on. We got to do something. We got to participate. We have to be servants. And we have to teach servanthood to other people.
You see, somebody built a foundation in somebody's life long before Harold Ray. And it was passed on, and it came to me. This did not happen last night. It didn't happen last week. It happened years ago. Brother Harold Ray invited my dad to church in 1968. I was 4 years old. Inheritances are important. How old will I be in February, Carl? That's right. Carl, he reminds me. If I forget how old I am, he lets me know. And he always reminds me that he's younger than I am. It's only a few months, but he's still younger, so he can use that. But somebody built a foundation that long ago, folks. And we're still trying to spread that inheritance today. You see, some of the men and women who shaped my life and shaped my ministry are no longer alive today. My grandparents prayed for and helped lead that call of God upon my life. Somebody built a church in my life. Somebody laid a foundation. Somebody built some walls. And I'm only here because someone said, I'm going to build a church. They built it with prayer. They built it with dedication. They built it with work. They built it with worship. They built it with sacrifices. Amen. They built it with their giving. They built it with their love for God. They built it with their love for the lost. Somebody built a church. And I found at the age of 4 in West Salem, Ohio, amen, a church that somebody put there. It wasn't pretty to look at. The music was not very professional, but the worship was real, folks. The preaching was anointed. And after just one visit of an apostolic church, my life has never been the same. Somebody built a church. It wasn't a church on a hill. It was not made of elaborate stonework. It was an old storefront. It didn't have marble. It didn't have gold stuff, platings anywhere. But somebody built a church. It had worship. That church had preaching. That church had anointing. Amen. It had the moving of God's Spirit, and it changed my life. In Romans 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not ashamed to say to you or anyone else that, folks, that knowing Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to my life. And I love worshiping God. I love living for God. Amen. And I understand that I just can't sit on the sidelines and expect it to go on. I understand that, amen, if I want to pass on this inheritance, I've got to get involved. I got to give to God. I got to give Him my time. I got to give Him my talents. Hallelujah. And I got to lead in worshiping God. I understand that the more I worship Him, the more He enters into my situation. Amen, folks. I've learned that no matter where I am, no matter what is going on in my life, no matter what hell is throwing against me, I can build a church and I can lay a foundation in prayer. I can build up some walls of worship. I want you to know something today, folks. We need to understand this. We are not just building the church for what we can do for us today. We are building a church, this church, for the multitudes that will be affected by it, both directly and indirectly. Today, tomorrow, a year from now, next generation, we're doing it for them. Brother Stan Gleason told us yesterday, his grandfather received a letter from England telling him he had $4.1 million inheritance. $4.3 million inheritance The only catch is he had to move to England. So he started looking. The first thing he started looking for. Now, most people would say a house, right? The first thing he started looking for was an apostolic church. Brother Gleason had a picture of all his aunts and uncles and his father up there with his grandfather. And he was telling us they were all involved in music and speaking and all this other kind of stuff. His father was a preacher. He couldn't find an apostolic church. So you know what he did? He wrote him back a letter. You have to give it to the next person in line. 4.3 million dollar inheritance, he says, give to somebody else. What do you say? Almost 200 people today. 200 people from that, all those family members will be in church today. Because his father said, I gotta build a church. If I can't find one over there, I don't need that money. He wanted his family in church. Money will never give happiness and joy. He could have went and taken that, and they had all been fighting over it and arguing over it and suing each other. What good is it? But you can have the peace of God in your life. We are building this church for the multitudes that will be affected by it, both directly and indirectly, today, tomorrow, a year from now, a generation from now. We are building this church for our children. We are building this church for our grandchildren. We are building this church for our family members. We are building this church for our neighbors. We are building this church for our coworkers. Folks, we are saying to this community for the coming decades, folks, this apostolic church, amen, Church of Pentecost, we were here, and you'll never forget us. Amen? We were here. We believe God for the miraculous, don't we? Amen. We held to the truth of his word. Yes, this generation needs what this church believes, folks. This generation is going to be affected by what this church does. But more so than that, we realize that the next generation is going to be affected by what we believe today. Come on. Amen. Praise him right now. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. What will come of our children if we don't build this church? Come on. Think about that. What will become of our children if we don't build this church? Now, folks, I want you to understand, it's not just this right here, and this is important, and I'm talking about this too, but I'm talking about in your life, the church in your life, every day what they see. Come on. Brother Osborne said, he said, these people get up and their children are whining and taking them out of the, he said, nuh-uh, I want to keep them in there. He said, if somebody's up there praying through the Holy Ghost, I'm taking them right on up there so they can watch it, so they can learn to love the Lamb of God. Come on, folks, we got to get them involved. Amen. Don't let your children sit there and play on their phones. Don't let your children sit there and play on their iPads. Get them in there singing and worshiping God. Get them up out of their pews. When we're standing, stand up here. Amen. They might just stand around every now and then, but eventually they'll start worshiping, clapping just like you are if you are doing it. If you want them to love the things of God that you believe in, they better see you doing it. Saying, well, Brother Robert, you're preaching all the stuff from camp. I had this done before I went down to Men's Retreat. This is going right along with what we heard. We heard this all weekend. Amen, brother? What will become of your children if they don't see a church built in your life? What will come of your grandchildren if you do not build this church in your life? What will come of your family and your coworkers and your neighbors if they don't see a church built in your life? Let me tell you something, folks. You can go to work many times as you want. You can walk out and talk to your neighbors many times as you want. They don't see what God sees on the inside. So they better see on the outside what you're supposed to be doing because of what you got on the inside. Come on. They better see that church is important to you, that you're there when the doors are open. Let me tell you something. My dad had a junkyard, and I had some uncles that weren't very scrupulous. They didn't live by the things my dad did. You should know, they knew when it was time for the Roberts family to go to church. And they knew when the Roberts family got home. So when they decided to steal something, it was when we were at church. And they stole a lot. See, my dad built a lot of his own tools, a lot of his own trucks. And one day my uncle decided he's going to steal my dad's welder. Well, my dad, without that welder, he wouldn't have been able to put food on our table. And one time I saw my dad get in my uncle's face, and he pointed his big old fat bony finger at him, and he says, "I know you stole it." And I'm telling you what, right now, he's pointing at his chest, "You better bring it back." And guess what? My uncle had it hid down the railroad tracks so he could sell it. And you know what? That thing miraculously came back. Because he knew my dad could squeeze and pop his head off with one grip. Pop. Any of you ever seen my father? He was a big man, wasn't he? He had hands three times as big as mine. But they would do that because you know what? They knew. When we went to church, they didn't see, you know, they just didn't hear what we told them. They didn't see the inside of my dad's heart. They didn't see his love for God and his dedication. God could see that kind of stuff. But you know what? He saw that he loved God so much. When the doors of the church were open, he was there. I don't care if we were cleaning the church. I don't care if there was work going on. If there was something going on at church, Dad and his family were there. You see, your neighbors need to see that. Your coworkers need to hear, it's church night tonight. I'm going to church. What are you doing this weekend? Well, I'm doing this on Saturday, and Sunday we're going to church. They need to hear how you're talking to people and giving Bible studies in your home and loving people. They need to hear that kind of stuff. They need to see those kind of things. Your children need to see it. You see, if you don't do it, as Brother Osborne told us, you know, yesterday I was in a meeting. We were in a forum. Me and my sons, and I think Brother Rob was in there, and they were talking about different things as pastors, ministers do. And a lot of times they would, when somebody would ask a question, they would say, "Well, they gave what's the?" John Maxwell said this, and John Maxwell said this, and. So it was kind of a little joke there, but, you know, John Maxwell, they use him. He's a wise man. He's got good stuff going on. You don't have the truth, but he's got good stuff going on. You know what you do? You just chew up the meat, spit out the bones. So I'm here today. I'm saying, I heard this at the meeting yesterday, and I heard that, so that's fine. But it's good. But we need to understand, folks, that we have to show forth. But Brother Osborne was saying that if you don't show forth things to your children. If you want your daughter to marry a man that worships and dances to the Lord, then they better see you do it. Because you know what will happen? If they don't see Dad do it, and they marry a man that does it, they'll hate him for it. You know why Michael hated seeing David out there dancing before the Lord? Because she didn't see her father do it. And I'm telling you, folks, we're building an inheritance here. And we need to show our children what God expects from us. Come on. Mothers, if you're here and your son need to hear you pray. They need to see you here at prayer time at church. Amen. Because if they marry a young lady who wants to do it, they may hate her for it. Because mama didn't do it. What will come of our children if we don't build this church? What will come of it? Those beautiful grandchildren, what's going to become of them? You see, I've always wanted my boys to see me worshiping God. This is before my pastor ever even used me to come up and lead worship. But I always sit on the other side of the church over here in the front, second row back. And one night he walked over to me, and my pastor says, I want you to know something. I want you to know that I appreciate and love you, and I love your worship. You are leading worship in this pew. And because he saw me leading worship in the pew, eventually he brought me up on the platform and started leading worship songs. You see, folks, you're building that inheritance. And you may think you're on a mountain to anything. You're just going to sit back here and you're just going to cruise right on along. And you're going to come here, you're going to be faithful, and you're going to worship the Lord. But don't you want to do something greater for God? Come on. Maybe you could teach a Sunday school class. And I'm putting out there, we need Sunday school teachers. But maybe you could teach a Sunday school class. And one of those kids who maybe came off of a bus route, amen, begins to get a hold of God. And eventually, he's pastoring a church like Brother Bolgren. Or maybe he's going to be a missionary like Brother Abernathy, who Sister Dean taught in her Sunday school class. Because you said, you know what? I'm going to build an inheritance. Amen. I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to give of myself willingly. Willingly. Folks, you should never look at it, well, it's church night. Or I got to go greet today. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on, folks, we either believe this or we don't. I don't know about you, but I believe in this apostolic doctrine. I believe today that it is this, what I stand for, what I believe in, the inheritance I want to leave, it is this that's going to get people to heaven. Amen. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children. We're doing more than having good church today. We are building an inheritance for those who will come after us. Folks, somebody has to build them a church. Somebody has to build your children a church. Somebody has to build your grandchildren a church. Your neighbor, your coworker. Amen. Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to lay a foundation. Somebody has to build those walls of worship. For where will they go when their life seems to be falling apart if they don't have a church to go to? Where will they go, folks, when hell tries to destroy them? Where will they turn when they can't seem to find God? Somebody has to build them a church. This is why we meet. This is why we are here today. We're building something here today, folks. Amen? It is why some pray before service. It is why others practice songs all week long before service. We're building a church. Amen. That is why you get here early. Amen. So you can greet people at the door. Amen. That's why you get here early as an usher and you help shovel that sidewalk of snow. Amen. We're building something here. I want you to understand it's not just because we want to do what something the pastor's asked us to do. No, I'm doing it willingly. Amen. Moses never made them do it. He never twisted their arm to do it. He said, hey, here it is, Moses. And he finally said, hey, I got too much. It's This is why Brother Andy comes and plows the driveway in the winter for us, because we're building something, amen? We appreciate all that he does, hallelujah. I appreciate it. I want you to understand as a pastor today, I appreciate everything anybody does in this church. I appreciate when the toilets are clean. Nobody likes to go to a dirty bathroom. Nobody wants to come here if this church is filthy. Folks, I'm telling you, we need people to say, hey, Pastor, I'll do whatever Alejandro asked me to do. I'll do what anything Adam asked me to do, or Sister Alexander asked me to do, or Brother Nick, I'll do whatever it is. I just want to do something for the house of God. I want to build a church. I want to have my children and my grandchildren in a church. Got to build it, folks. Your children, if you don't go to church, your children ought to be saying, why aren't we going to church? Oh, unless they say, oh, not going to church again? Oh, good. Come on. My boys would cry if we didn't have a sit-down family meal. We're not having a family sit-down dinner. I know that's not the church, but hey, it's something the family ought to do. We sit there and talk about our day. Building a church. See, when you build a church, your home will have peace in it. It'll have joy. Come on. Come on. Do you know what peace is? Brother Stan Gleason told us they bought a house and they lived in it for 8 or 9 years, whatever. And they sold it and bought another place. A couple weeks later, the lady who bought the house called up and says, who are you people? So I'm Stan Gleason. My wife is this. And my children are this. She goes, no. She says, who are you people? He said, what do you mean? She said, there's something in this house. There's a peace in this house. I've never experienced anything like that. I want to know, who are you people? Folks, I'm telling you, that's the kind of inheritance, amen, that you ought to have in your home. Mom and dad shouldn't be screaming at each other all the time. You know who else shouldn't be screaming at each other? The children. They shouldn't scream at you. When you have peace. Come on. When you have peace. You see, I want my house to, when somebody walks in my house, they feel a peace. I tell the stories about Brandy all the time, bringing her friends in there. My wife had a tea party with them, and she looked at her friends. She said, didn't I tell you? It's like a fairy tale. Remember that? Why? Because there's peace in there, wasn't there? There's a peace. I built an inheritance. You shouldn't have chaos in your home if you're apostolic. You shouldn't be pulling your hair out all the time if you're apostolic, folks, because you have an inheritance. You can go down and walk down the neighborhood and find all kinds of home where they're screaming and yelling and going on all the time and chaos all the time and mom's, you know, frantic and all this. That's the norm today. That's the lifestyle. But there's something different about an apostolic who has a church built. Come on. We're building a church. We're building a place where outpouring of the Holy Ghost can occur. It can occur here. It can do it in your home also. We're building a place where the good people of our community can come and learn how to be born again. We're building a place where our families can come and hear that Jesus loves them. We're building a church. Amen. A change of use, folks. Amen. I don't know if you can see it yet, but I can, folks. I see a grand entrance. Now I'm talking about a building. I see a grand entrance. Amen. I see a huge parking lot where cars and people from all over are pulling in. And I hear a choir. Amen. I see many classrooms and Sunday school worshiping in their services. I see the teenagers worshiping in their own auditorium. I hear an incredible worship in this building. I see the faces of people we don't even know yet. I feel the Spirit of God sweeping over that church. I see people being baptized in the, amen, by the hundreds. I see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I see a great church. Amen. When these folks here today say, willingly, here it is, Pastor. Willingly, here it is, God. I see a great church. We're building a great church. Can you see it? It's fantastic. It's beautiful. It's the most beautiful church in town, folks. It is a church where everyone wants to come to. It is a church that cares. It is a church that loves. It is a church that is making a difference. It is the church that is turning its community upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the church where lives are restored. It's the church where marriages are put back together. It's a church that's keeping people from committing suicide. It's a church that's preventing teen pregnancy. It's preventing drug abuse. It's changing people's lives. It's making a difference. It's reaching into the next generation. Let's build a church today, folks.
Come on.
Let's build a church. Will you do it willingly? Let's build it with our prayers. Let's build it with our giving. Let's build it with our worship. Let's build it with our work and our dedication. Let's build it with our faithfulness. Let's build it with our love for God and our love for our souls and our love for our neighbors. Let's build it with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let's build a beautiful church. I'm telling you right now, we have all that it takes to build this church. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." How many of you know that rock this morning? Come on. That rock is Jesus Christ himself. Amen. The church will not be built upon the charisma of the name of a man. Folks, that church won't be built on that. This church will not be built upon one who died. It is going to be built upon one who died for our sins. Amen. And I'm declaring to you today that Jesus loves you and he loves this community. In fact, he loves them so much. He died on Calvary. Amen. Folks, let's build a church. Let's stand here today. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. "So I, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is, to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and a mature behavior. A life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. With all humility, forsaking self-righteousness and gentleness, maintaining self-control with patience, bearing with one another in unselfish love. Make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace, each individual working together to make this whole successful. There is one body of believers and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope and one call to salvation. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of us all, who is sovereign over all and working through all and living in all. Yet grace, God's undeserved favor, was given to each one of us, not indiscriminately, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and abundant gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, let captivity captive, and he bestowed gifts on men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had previously descended from the heights of heaven unto the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the very same as he who also ascended high above all the heavens, that he, his presence, might fill all the things, that is the whole universe. And his gifts to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles, some messengers and representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people. Some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherds and guide and to instruct. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints. What's that saying to you, folks? He did this. He gave these things, prophets and pastors and teachers, to fully equip and to perfect the saints. Why? Because God wants you to do something. God's people. For the work of service. To build up the body of Christ, the church. Until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising his spiritual gifts in unity. So that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery, unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for people's profit. But speaking the truth in love and in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things unto him, following his example, who is the head of Christ. From him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. You see, folks, the church has God-given responsibilities. God has given his church an enormous responsibility to make disciples in every nation. This involves preaching, teaching, healing, nurturing, giving, administering, building, and many other tasks. If we had to fulfill this command as an individual, we might as well give up without trying, because it would be impossible. What I'm saying is, we can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. But God calls us as members of his body. Some of us can do one task. Some of you can do several. But if we all do what we can to bless the church and bring a great move of God, together, we can obey God more fully than any of us could alone. You see, it is the human tendency to overestimate what we can do by ourselves and to underestimate what we can do as a group or as a body. But as the body of Christ, we can do more by functioning together than we would dream possible working by ourselves. Working together in the church, folks, expresses the fullness of Jesus Christ. Amen? Folks, God is calling each and every one of us here today to do a work for him, to do something to build this church, to build a church in your life. I'm opening this altar to those that are willing. Are you here? Are you willing today? Are you willing today to do something for God? Come on up here. He'll give you that ability. He'll give you that power. He'll give you that strength. Come on.